From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
The text for this morning is found in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured. There are murmurs amongst Christians now, as there were in the camp of Israel of old. There are those who, when the rod falls, cry out against the afflictive dispensation. They ask, "Why am I thus afflicted? What have I done to be chastened in this manner?" A word with thee, O murmurer. Why shouldst thou murmur against the dispensations of thy heavenly Father? Can he treat thee more hardly than thou deservest? Consider what a rebel thou wast once, but he has pardoned thee. Surely, if he in his wisdom sees fit now to chasten thee, thou shouldst not complain. After all, art thou smitten as hardly as thy sins deserve? Consider the corruption which is in thy breast, and then wilt thou wonder that there needs so much of the rod to fetch it out? Weigh thyself, and discern how much dross is mingled with thy gold. And dost thou think the fire too hot to purge away so much dross as thou hast? Does not that proud rebellious spirit of thine prove that thy heart is not thoroughly sanctified? Are not those murmuring words contrary to the holy submissive nature of God's children? Is not the correction needed? But if thou wilt murmur against the chastening, take heed, for it will go hard with murmurers. God always chastises his children twice, if they do not bear the first stroke patiently. But know one thing, he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. All his corrections are sent in love, to purify thee, and to draw thee nearer to himself. Surely it must help thee to bear the chastening with resignation, if thou art able to recognize thy Father's hand. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Murmur not, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Search me and prove if I indeed am thine.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series of studies from 1 Thessalonians, he's focusing on verses 19 and 20 of chapter 2. Seeking to encourage the Thessalonian believers of his intention to return to them, Paul speaks of how much joy their conversion has given him. This delights his soul, especially in relation to what they will mean to him in the presence of Christ in heaven. One of the greatest joys a Christian can have in glory will be the souls who will be there because of his testimony for Christ. Now, to conclude this message, viewing the church in the light of Christ's return, here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
Every moment in eternity will remind you of how you lived on earth. If you lived carelessly, it will be evident. There will be others who will have supplemental joy because they poured out their souls for the cause of Christ. And then there will be others, and they will get into heaven by the skin of their teeth. And while they will rejoice in the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done, they won't have the supplemental joy of a life of labor for Christ. That is sobering. Sobering. I wonder if you go into eternity today, will you be happy with the fruits of your labors? Now, let me underscore, not one of us can save a soul. Neither you nor me. But if you're going to catch fish, you don't stand where there's no water. And if you're ever going to have an influence upon lives in terms of bringing them into an understanding of the gospel, you have to actually be about the business of fishing. You have to cast the line. You have to lower the net. Now, there are opportunities within this congregation, ministries that are part of this work, in which you may find it limiting to some degree because of your work. You can't really do much evangelism, but you can be part of those ministries that are evangelistic in their focus. And every time you participate, again, the lament of all of our hearts is we can't save anyone, but at least we're in the place where there's water. And we never know, and I find it a marvelous thing, in my own experience, a marvelous thing, that the surprise of the occasions whenever you get a bite. You're fishing, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and waiting, and then there's a tug. And it takes you by surprise. Many times you have no idea. And then there's the bite in the line, and you have the joy of reeling in that soul, pointing them to Christ. But that can only happen if you're at the water. So I ask you, child of God, are you fishing? Are you fishing? Not just fishing, but even in relation to the Lord's people, are you in part way developing their maturity? I think that's included as well. The contribution, some soul, some water, God gives the increase. There's different parts of all of the work, but you have to be in the work. You have to be actively involved. And it just doesn't happen by doing nothing. And so even in relation to your kind of day-to-day activities, you need to prepare yourself for the fact that even as you go out and you labor in your employment, that you might actually find yourself passing by a creek or a pond and you're by the water and now is an opportunity to fish. You weren't looking for it, but you got into conversation with someone. Are you ready? Are you ready to start fishing? So do you have anything in your hand or in your pocket that you may give them? And have you a word in season for them to speak to them and encouragement in regards to their spiritual condition? Paul was so given over to laboring in part, not just because the love of Christ constrained him, but also because he understood that there would be eternal reminders of the life that he lived. His eternity would reflect the life that he lived. I find that very sobering. I don't want anyone to go away today and be discouraged because your circumstances in life make it impossible for you to maybe do some of the ministries in this church. I understand there are limitations. I've often said, and I say it again, there are seasons in our lives. Seasons of preparation, seasons of focus upon our own family, our children, especially as mothers. There are seasons, but time is rolling on. It's disappearing from every last one of us. We will all soon, those of us in Christ, be in a place of eternity where there is no more time. But there will be the constant reminder of the kind of life that we lived, reflected by the reward or lack of reward for our labors. And I just want to underscore that. I want us to be very clear about it, and I want us to think about how we're living our lives in light of that reality. And I thought about all this. I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about how motivated he was. And we're going to see it tonight. 12 years of age. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? From his earliest years, comprehending that there was a greater purpose. And his whole life is poured out entirely for that purpose. He must work while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. And his whole life is active ministry, certainly as the spotlight of Scripture shines upon those 3 years or so, there is this evidence of the fact that he is relentlessly in pursuit, not just of the Father's will and obedience to everything, but there is a sense of reward. That it's not in vain. That he will see all of his sufferings prevail in reward. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul's exhorting the elders at Ephesus, and he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." I was thinking about that text, and Paul is exhorting the leaders, but they're to take care of the church, but the church of God, the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Son of God purchased the church with his own blood. He gave everything to buy the church, to say it is mine. And in a very real sense, what Paul says here in these verses, waters or hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, will be said ultimately about Christ to all of the elect, to everyone for whom he shed his blood, to everyone he gathers into the sheepfold. They are his hope, his joy, his crown of rejoicing. They're evidence of the fruit of the labors that he gave himself to. That which he understood even in John 12 when he says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And he speaks this of himself as a corn of wheat that must fall and die to bring the harvest. And that harvest for Christ is all the elect from every corner of the globe. He gathers them in, and they all are his hope and joy and crown of rejoicing. But isn't it a wonder that he will, those who are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, will actually enter into this same joy. That he will ascribe recognition to those that he used as instruments to bring about the gathering in of the elect. What are we living for? What are you living for? What are the motivating influences in your life? What are your ambitions? What are your goals? What are your desires? Scrape away all the external factors that are in your life and really get to the foundation, get to the bottom and ask yourself honestly, what am I living for? Only you can answer that. What are you living for? What matters most? To help you along, let me put it this way. If you were to really analyze your own life and look at it, you yourself, scrutinizing it yourself, in what way does your life reveal whether or not the things you say matter really do matter? Does your life evidence the so-called priorities that you claim to have as a Christian? Listen, I have to do this as well. I have to ask myself, as I stand before men and women, and I'm meant to be a man of God, given entirely to the cause of Christ, solely to follow Him and promote Christ in everything I do and say, and yet, does my life constantly reflect the bottom line, this is really all that matters? Now, if you're anything like me, you're in a constant battle against the contradictions of your heart. And I trust that our text here today will help you to militate against those contradictions and not make excuses for them, but again, recalibrate and begin to ask afresh, perhaps maybe even for the first time, am I really living with eternity's values in view? Do I want to be liked? Is that my goal? You're living for time. Do I just so prioritize wealth, and prosperity, and material gain? You're living just for time. When these things, and God may gift them to us, and there's nothing wrong with them in a certain measure, but let's scrape away what is the driving, motivating influences in our hearts and lives? And is eternity truly in our view? What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Will it not be you there when He comes? For ye are our glory and joy. What a heart. What affections. Beloved, all we can do is say, God, help me. The Lord bless His word. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, in many ways the devil has done a number on us. In some ways he has succeeded so in such an influential way to stifle the hearts of this generation from living in light of eternity. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt set us free from the chains that bind us to time, where we can barely breathe, never mind truly spend time meditating upon eternity. We pray that Thou wilt loosen those fetters, break those chains, set Thy people free, that they will not merely lay up for time and treasure where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves can break through and steal, but to lay up treasure in heaven. Lord, none of us know how short our time is. I have no idea how many moments will be afforded to me. But I pray for myself and for this congregation that Thou wilt make us to be fruitful, to be wise and discerning in the use of our time, to understand the balance of life, as well as the need to truly labor for eternity. Give us the burden and the strength and the will to serve Christ. And may we enter in to the rewards of the Son of God. May we be instruments, some sowing, some watering, and thou wilt give the increase. Hear prayer. Bless our afternoon. Be with us in our homes. And bring us back here again to worship thee. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with all thy people now and evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.